Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, this week, Yvonne Chouinard, the founder of outdoor apparel brand Patagonia, he shocked the business world when he announced that he'd be donating his company to fight climate change. The whole company, that is. It's an unprecedented move and one that's got a lot of attention. So is this a sign of an emerging trend or is it a one-off? Well, RTÉ business journalist Adam Maguire is here now to explain the story in more detail. Adam, you're very welcome to the programme. Explain the story in more detail, will you? Tell us first of all about this guy. Who is he?
Yeah, so Yvonne Chouinard, a French-Canadian business man, that he refers to himself as a reluctant businessman, but he prefers the term dirtbag whenever he's asked about it, because his first love was rock climbing, something he was at the forefront of back in the 50s. But to save money, he started making his own climbing tools, first for himself, and then other people asked could they buy some, so he started using it to fund his passion. Firstly, he made what are called pitons, the steel spikes the climbers use to stick into a mountain when they're climbing, and eventually he started making climbing gear for climbers as well. Apparently that side of the business came from a trip to Scotland in the 70s. Sure, picked up a rugby jersey, which apparently it turns out was really good for climbers. If you think of those old school rugby jerseys, the heavy material, big thick collars, apparently it's good for stopping the gear from chafing into your neck
so
and shoulders.
So you could hang lots of stuff over your neck and it wouldn't cut through.
Exactly, yeah. So he brought this back to America. His friends said, where did you get that from? So he started importing them, and then eventually he started making his own. Became a hugely successful business, Patagonia, worth $3 billion today. So massive, massive.
And
business.
He never set out to be a hugely successful businessman, ever.
No, never. And his focus was always on rock climbing and funding his adventuring, but he was also very environmentally conscious as well. I mentioned those pitons that he started making his money on. They made him a huge amount of money relatively early on, but he realised quite quickly they were actually doing damage to Yosemite in California, because you know, you're cracking into the mountain. So he switched and developed clean climbing tools, a kind of leave no trace style of climbing, long before other people did. And he turned his back on a lot of money in order to make that switch, and he continued that kind of ethos through his career. So Patagonia is about, you know, long lasting, so you don't have to keep buying replacements every year. It's about sustainable materials, and they've been looking at that since, you know, the 80s, when a lot of clothing companies are only talking about sustainable materials.
It's amazing
materials
the amount of people
well.
Who come up with an idea, and we all have it at one stage, and to carry it through like he did is pretty phenomenal. You know, like I was looking at him the other day because it's all over the papers, but he was arrested once. You know, he went spent time in jail. Did you see that?
No, yeah, I saw that he spent time.
Yeah, he was kind of just
hopping the trains.
He was hopping trains, and he was caught hopping a train, like bumming around. Basically,
yeah, and apparently he just decided to go missing with no money in his back pocket,
and
just for a week or two and see what
happened.
He spent
200 nights in 1 year sleeping out under the stars without a tent. He didn't get a tent until he was 40. Yeah. All of these kind of things. But the best of all is he was arrested and actually spent time in jail. And you know what was on the charge sheet? Wandering around aimlessly with no apparent means of support.
I think we could all be arrested for that at some point in our lives.
I don't see what's wrong with that. You know, it's fantastic. Although I suppose maybe you're not supposed to jump trains. I don't know. Anyway, he's a phenomenal bloke. He really does seem to be. So what's he done?
So he's decided to give the company over to a charity and to a trust. And apparently the catalyst for this was that he went onto the Forbes billionaire list a couple of years ago. And
yeah.
And this was the thing that annoyed most
people.
He reads this
in a magazine and he just went mad.
Yeah, because his aim has always been to redistribute and to you know, for the greater good. And by being a billionaire, he has failed to do that. So he told his business people, find a way to get rid of this company or I'm just going to sell it to somebody and I'm going to use the money for good causes. So they decided to transfer to donate it over to a charity and a trust. He'll still, and his family will still be in control of the business, but in terms of the money, the profits, the dividends, they'll all now be getting directed towards good causes.
Okay, so the privately held company stock is now going to be owned by a climate-focused trust and a group of kind of non-profit organisations. With that in mind, I mean, most of these people who want to give loads of money to charity and all the rest, they do want to keep an eye on the money. You don't want to hand it over to a bunch of people who just misuse it. So, who, like, does he know who he's giving the money to?
Well,
is he actually giving it to a kind of a Patagonia thing?
It's kind of a trust that, you know, they have a charity and a trust that are set up with an ethos of, you know, giving to sustainable causes.
So is he on the board still? Sorry.
He's still on the board of the company,
right.
And he still, yeah, would have a say in the charity and his family as well. But his family are all on board with this as well, it seems, because, you know, he has two children who are also involved in the company, and they're all on the same page. So they're all hoping that it will direct the money in good causes. Some of it political donations, which is kind of, you know, maybe controversial, but other in terms of helping to reduce the environmental impact of businesses like Patagonia.
Yeah, and he's a West Coast American kind of guy. He's all sorts of things of surfing and
yeah, you know, surfing and rock climbing and hopping freight trains and everything else.
Exactly. And he's based over there.
That's right, yeah. So
and I know that because I was in the car park at Patagonia. I can't remember what part of California it was, but I was actually in there once because I was collecting a friend, or at least we were. I never went into the building. And a friend came out who was working there. He said it was a great place to work.
And apparently, so he would have been big into having on-site childcare in the 80s and 90s. Again, something the company's only starting to think about now.
Everything you hear from tech companies now, he was doing all the time.
Yeah, having free lunches and all that kind of, again, thing that Google maybe started doing 10, 20 years ago, he was doing in the 80s. Yeah,
flexible working and all the rest. And if you want to go surfing, go right ahead kind of stuff. Okay, so where do we go from here then? So loads of money. We're talking $3 billion. What about the family? How do they feel about it?
Well, apparently they're all right with it. His two children, Fletcher and Claire, both of whom have been involved with Patagonia for years. According to the CEO, one option that Shunard looked at was just to pass the company on to his children. But apparently they didn't want it. They also believed in this thing that, you know, a billionaire is a policy failure, that, you know, to have a billionaire means that there are people that are going without. And they also didn't want to be part of the problem, and they also didn't want to be seen to be benefiting financially from their father's success. So they said, we don't want it. So that's why they moved on to the charity and trust model instead. And they're still involved in the company, so presumably they're happy enough as well. I mean, you'd imagine they're taking home a decent wage and have been for some time. It's not like they're going to be out on the street, but they're not inheriting a massive company either.
Yeah, and also, like, he was always talking about extracting value from nature for shareholders, and now since Earth is our only shareholder, let's do it for Earth. So once again, just the details, how do you do this? I mean, what do you do with $3 billion to make sure that it does what it's supposed to do now?
Well, I mean, it's essentially a donation. So that's what they've done. Rather than sell it, which was one option that you could have sold it to another investor, they could have put it on the floated on the stock exchange. They've donated it to a charity instead. And I suppose it's about how you set up the charity and what the remit of it is, and what the foundation document is about. You know, these are the goals and aspirations of the trust and of the charity, and then obviously having the board members and the people in place to ensure that they're sticking to that, and there's checks and balances there.
Well, then, how first is this? I mean, has anybody done anything exactly like this before?
No, I've really struggled to think of anything like this before. There have been plenty of examples of billionaires and multimillionaires who have donated or pledged to donate their fortunes to charity. You know, Ireland would be familiar with Chuck Feeney, whose foundation only recently finished its work of donating his billions to good causes. Others like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are also giving away their money. Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook has pledged to give 99% of his wealth away in his lifetime. But what tends to happen, what they tend to do, is that they sell their companies, or they move on from their companies and take their shareholding out of it, and they use that money then to direct it into causes that they believe in. What's different here is that the actual business is being passed on rather than the money generated from
the big names you mentioned. It's not the actual business that they're giving away, just the proceeds of their involvement.
So if you think of Bill Gates and Microsoft, you know, he moved on from Microsoft. There are other investors who took some of his shareholding. He's selling his shares, but Microsoft is doing its own thing, and then Bill Gates is taking his money and spending it on good causes. So it's not the company that's being transferred over, which in Patagonia's case it is. So it seems unique to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a Patagonia store again over that part of the world, but do we have that here?
I don't know if we have any shops.
They just sell the goods.
But not the actual shops here.
Right. Yeah, and I believe, like, I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, which is all outdoor kind of gear, and that it is amongst the best that you can get. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, and again, their focus has been on quality and the idea that, you know, you don't have to buy the same thing, you know, every couple of months because it's fallen apart on you. So, you know, it's probably more expensive than maybe some of the rivals, but it lasts forever, so that it is quite popular, and it's a fashionable brand as well, partially because it has this environmental kind of reputation.
And also, the brand was his own name once, but he went to Patagonia and said, "I'm going to call it Patagonia."
Yeah, he had a life changing experience.
But you know, that's brilliant what happened down there. If I read this right the other day, he's with this other guy, a good friend of his called Doug Tompkins. And the two of them were climbing a mountain. I just thought the whole thing was great and fantastic. And he went off to form North Face, which is the biggest other thing besides Patagonia.
Yeah, the other big outdoor whereabouts. So I think of one trip suddenly leading to these two massive companies in the same sector.
So in South America. So the thing is that, like, the quality is very good of the stuff, isn't it?
It's meant to be if you're looking for the best quality, again, you might spend a bit more on it, but it will last you. It's made well. You know, it's sustainable materials and all that kind of stuff. And it's you know, well put together, because I suppose it comes from somebody who was big into rock climbing, big into adventuring. So they realised, well, this gear doesn't work, so I'm going to make a slightly better version that does work for me. And that's where it comes from.
Let me correct something I said earlier on, because I wasn't 100% sure. Yeah, we have. I knew that. I vaguely knew somewhere in the back of my brain there is a Patagonia shop in Exchequer Street in Dublin.
Well, that shows you how much outdoor adventuring that I do.
That shows you how much outdoor adventuring that I do. And I certainly didn't wait at the age of 40 to buy a tent. In fact, I've never bought a tent and didn't spend 200 days under the stars either. financial benefits in donating his company? I'm sure that some people are saying, yeah, that's for tax reasons.
Yeah, I mean, there was this claim that he's avoiding $750 million in tax or a hefty inheritance tax by donating it. But really, that's the money he would have had to pay if he'd sold the business to investors. So it's kind of like saying you can avoid income tax by not getting a job. It's money that he hasn't earned, so he's not going to pay tax on it. There is a small tax bill, a gift tax he has to pay of $17.5 million on the back of the deal. So he is paying a small amount of tax. The tax that people are saying he's avoiding is on money
but
he
it
hasn't
is,
earned.
Is that a kind of an estate and gift tax where lots of, like, there'd be a big percentage of a levy?
Well, there would be if he was selling it, or if he was passing it on to his children as well. There is this issue, though, that some of the trust and charity is going to be doing political lobbying, and people are saying, well, is this a way around having to pay tax and then being able to use your political influence? And I mean, it is a fair point. You know, in this case, it's quite a progressive cause. It's, you know, pro-environment, so people are on board with it. But if it was a business that was doing this and saying, well, we're going to do it to promote pro-gun laws in the US, maybe people wouldn't be quite so supportive of it. So there is that question of, you know, should billionaires be allowed to find these kind of ways around and use it for political influence?
Well, then you say quite a progressive cause. I mean, the climate crisis is very much in people's minds. Has there been a rise in businesses donating to the cause?
Yeah, I mean, definitely businesses making more of an effort to be more environmentally friendly or be seen to be more environmentally friendly. It's taken a number of different forms. So some of it is, you know, donations, and, you know, there's an initiative that Shunard himself started for businesses to pledge to give 1% of their revenue to environmental causes this year. It should be said, though, Patagonia is probably only one of the big names on that list. A lot of the companies are relatively small. Others have promised to offset their environmental footprint. You know, essentially, they pay a certain amount per year based on their emissions, you know, to plant trees or to counter pollution in some other way. Others have tried to, you know, bolster their climate change credentials by promising to change their own practices, maybe change the materials they use or reduce their packaging or the energy consumption as well. You know, some of these are genuine efforts. Some of them are because it's good to be seen.
Well, then, is it the case that some businesses are donating to green charities, if I can call them that, instead of changing their practices?
Yeah, I mean, that practice of offsetting that I mentioned, some environmentalists are quite critical of this because they say it's not really addressing the problem. You know, it's basically environmental indulgences where you pay for your sins against the environment and you don't necessarily change your behaviour. And there's a good argument for against these things because a lot of the times, you know, the money is given, it's not really clear where it's going, how effective the programme is, say, planting trees. There's no checks and balances, people coming back 10 years later to see, well, have the trees been looked after? Are they still there? Have they been chopped down? So, you know, it's not necessarily as good as it seems. It's a nice thing to say. A lot of criticism of clothing companies as well. You know, they've launched sustainable efforts like a sustainable line of clothing or donations. You can donate your clothes back when you're finished with them. You know, often these sustainable clothes are actually, you know, using more synthetic material, which is bad for the environment, than other types of clothing. Right. And those recycling schemes, they often aren't recycling the clothes. They're just shipping them off to a poorer country and left for them to sort out in a big pile somewhere. So they're not actually solving the problem, but it makes you feel good. So that's why people like them.
OK, well, then finally, I mean, like, if we're talking 3 billion here, and Patagonia expects to make about 100 million maybe annually. Is that it?
Yeah, something in that ballpark. So it's a huge amount of money. And if it is directed correctly, it's obviously a huge benefit. Whether it will inspire others to do the same, I'm not so sure. I think we'll still see that old model of, you know, well, I'll use my personal fortune to direct it in charities that I like, but not necessarily handing over the reins of the business.
All right, Yvan Shunard, pretty remarkable guy, isn't he?
Yeah, really, really interesting guy.
All the way through,
and amazing, you know, for a reluctant businessman to be worth billions is quite a feat as well.
Right, indeed, absolutely. All right, but listen, thanks a million, Adam Maguire. Thanks very much, Adam, for dropping in to us and filling us up. I must say, I'm going to check out now and see if it all works out and see if they do.
Keep an eye.
Yeah. He's not a young man, is he?
No, he's
in
not.
His 80s.
No. Yeah, and I think part of it was that he knows that he has to start estate planning. So what's going to happen with the company? Yeah. And that's why he's gone down this route.
Okay, RTE business journalist Adam Maguire. Adam, thanks a million for talking to us. Dave Fanning on 2FM.